702, the Midday Report with Mandy Wiener.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
Yes TV channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Coming up on the show today, 40 days to elections, politicians on the campaign trail this weekend, the alleged KPMG bursary fund fraudster granted bail, Gauteng Premier Panyaza Lesufi launches free showers for the homeless, Ramaphosa extends the deployment of troops in the DRC, and it's Friday, so sports and good things too. All of that over the next hour.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday Report on 702 in Cape Talk with me, Mandy Wiener. Good to be with you today. 40 days, just under 6 weeks until the elections on May 29th. So very busy on the campaign trail this weekend. The president, Cyril Ramaphosa, is in KwaZulu-Natal. He's busy with campaigning there. Julius Malema, the EFF commander-in-chief, is also busy right now. He's holding a press conference. I see John Steenhuisen is in Ekurhuleni in Gauteng. So there's a lot going on. What for you are the key election issues? What have emerged as critical things that you'll be considering when you see politicians out on the campaign trail? What are you listening to in their stump speeches? I'd love to hear from you. Lots of other news that we are following as well. The Gauteng Premier, Panyaza Lesufi, launching free showers for the homeless. Yes, that's right. Free showers for the homeless. What are your thoughts on that? I'm struggling to articulate why I'm finding this quite so bizarre and so obviously electioneering. Remember, this campaign was actually supposed to be launched in March by MEC Klope, and then it was put on ice because of the backlash. So now that's happening today. Panyaza Lesufi and the MEC for Social Development, Agriculture, Rural Development and Environment are unveiling mobile showers for homeless people in Joburg. The mobile wash bus services will be located in parks, open areas, under bridges and on streets where the homeless community often reside, targeting those who refuse to be reunited with their families or placed within our shelters. So fundamentally, what the government is saying is that, yes, we are trying to get people off the streets, but there are people who don't want to leave the streets. So we need to keep those people clean. Yes. So let me know what you think about that. I look forward to hearing your WhatsApp voice notes. First, let's start, though, with what's happening in the world of elections. Tsidi Madia, EWN's Associate Politics Editor, joining us now. Tsidi, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time. Things obviously escalating, stepping up. Lots of different politicians out on the campaign trail. What can we expect this weekend?
Good afternoon, Mandy. I think, as you said, lots of politicians out and about on the campaign trail. Julius Malema is at a media engagement, speaking to media practitioners about what the EFF is. But he's somebody who's been set, who set his mind on meeting with minority communities. So over the weekend, I was with him in Lanesia. He was in El Dorado Park. I know that he has an engagement coming up in Midrand with members of the white community. He says, and I think people disagree with this, but he says he uses someone like Carl Niehaus as an example to show white people that the white people are very much welcome in the EFF. So they are on the campaign trail. They're also out and about in KZN. The ANC is pretty much everywhere, Mandy. You spoke about the president of the ANC being in KZN. So Ramaphosa being KZN, I don't come about, so we'll cover that later. They are out in the Eastern Cape, Guedamantashos and Limpopo. You have the deputy secretary generals who will be out in the Eastern Cape, and Figile Mbalula, the secretary general, will be out in the Northwest. And the DA, I'm sure you've noticed, they have a Rescue SA tour that they kicked off. It also has an anthem that was launched this week. There'll be Ekurhuleni this evening. And I just noticed that the Action SA has launched its own tour. It's called the Worst Roads Tour. So they'll be traveling the country looking at the worst roads. I don't think they'll struggle to find those across parts of our country, particularly in the Northwest.
For you, Tidi, what are emerging as some of the key themes or key issues that are dominating the narrative around the election 6 weeks out from the polls?
I think, Mandy, what's been interesting for me is an attempt to speak to issues that people have, because people aren't interested in ideology or policy at the moment. South Africans are struggling on a day-to-day basis, and I want a working country. So you are finding that they want answers as to what will make lives easier. Paycheck issues are important, and they're looking to political parties to speak to them. And I think there's an attempt to address that. But there's also an attempt, and I look at this idea of the EFF to woo the minorities, to make themselves palatable. And this, for me, is realizing that you might reach a plateau, you might be flatlining with a particular audience, or you're trying to reach or tap into new ground. So I do think that there is that, where some parties are trying to break new ground with voters, but the electorate themselves are looking for parties that speak to day-to-day issues and what makes things easier. South Africans are currently interested in issues and not ideology at the moment. They're looking for issues of immigration, answers about that. They're looking for, what are you doing about crime? They're looking to hear what you're going to do about unemployment and the economy. Those are the things that South Africans are asking parties to respond to.
In terms of how parties are positioning themselves ahead of what will no doubt be coalitions in many provinces and nationally, how much is going on behind the scenes in terms of those negotiations now, or are they parking that until afterwards? Is there stuff that we don't know about that you can tell us about?
I think we do know about conversations. We've seen the conversation, the blocks that have been created, where you've got a moonshot pact, the multi-party charter on one end. I think it was interesting that Julius Malema spoke quite recently about working with the NK party. I knew last year already that they had meetings about working together. So that finding its way into the public space makes absolute sense to me, that there have been agreements to try and build a leftist bloc. What is interesting is also hearing an ANC that in public refuses to budge on the conversation of coalition, saying that, you know, those are not ideal for our people. But the ANC actually has an ear and is listening to those who approach it, asking for them to think about what needs to happen with coalitions. The ANC is as worried as others about coalitions and is trying to plan for coalitions. As much as they say otherwise, they're willing to be heard. And the ANC, many leaders in the ANC have said to me, they don't believe a coalition can exist outside of the ANC. It's just a question of where does the ANC go? So those conversations are happening in the background. But I think that, Mandy, those will take shape once the numbers are on the table. Political parties want to barter with what is real and that they can actually use in the trade-off. So I think, depending on what happens from the evening of the 29th of May, that will intensify the talks about power sharing. You also have, when you look at the multi-party chart, some fears where parties like Action SA have come out really worried that a DA and IFP is ruining relationships with the ANC. That's because, again, the ANC's ears are wide open and willing to pretty much engage anybody who's willing to talk to the ANC. And that worries these pre-election agreements that are already in place. So there's a lot of jitters. But again, the big talks and the numbers and the trade-offs will happen once South Africans have taken to the ballots.
Tidi, thank you very much. Tidi Madia, EWN Associate Politics Editor, looking ahead towards this weekend. As you heard, the EWN team will be out and about as various political leaders are campaigning, notably, of course, the president spending 4 days in KZN. We know that that situation in KZN, the ANC very much under threat, according to the polls, according to the by-elections, by the growth and the momentum of former President Jacob Zuma's MK party. We also know that the MK party is eating into the support of the EFF in KwaZulu-Natal. And then, as Tidi mentioned, also there's this potential that we could see a coalition between the IFP and the ANC in KZN, where potentially the IFP takes control of the province of KZN in exchange for its support for the ANC nationally. So lots of scenarios that could play out there. As I mentioned, the EFF's Julius Malema also holding a press conference today. He's been speaking about a variety of issues, but he has also spoken about the Electoral Court's decision on former President Jacob Zuma's eligibility to be a candidate for the MK party and potentially be a member of parliament, and then the decision by the IEC to appeal that Electoral Court decision. Have a listen.
We don't see why the IEC is appealing Zuma judgment. It's really a very, very personal. And by doing that, they are keeping President Zuma in the news. By doing that, they are making President Zuma gather rallies outside every court appearance. So the court appearances are being organized by the IEC. We might be thinking the IEC is acting against Zuma, only to find that Mashinini is behind the strategy of the IEC to keep Zuma in the news. So you must not sleep. For the first time we saw Advocate Nugai Tobi struggling. And then he came at the JSC there. I went to him. I was here busy interviewing judges, but the social media observers are not giving it to you this time. He said to me openly, that one we've lost. Because he knows there is no case. So if they know there's no case, what is going to happen? Why are they doing what they are doing? And some silly mistakes that have been committed by the IEC. Remember, we have got 110% confidence on the IEC. But they are making so many stupid mistakes in a year where the election is highly contested, where they're supposed to be perfect. We are going now for 30 years of democracy. They've got the necessary experience. I mean, go and look at that signing of the code of conduct by the IEC. Anele was right to demand a picture. Why are you asking for my picture? You don't publish it. And you publish logos. My picture is my logo. It's me as an independent candidate. They didn't have that. They went to do raffle there, took out a name of an independent instead of a political party. Why do you put independents and political parties in one basket?
That's the EFF's commander in chief speaking there, Julius Malema. Look, I think that these attacks on the IEC are incredibly dangerous, particularly when there's so much concern around this decision, around the appealing of the electoral court judgment. I know that the IEC isn't always perfect, but I do think we need to be careful about casting any kind of aspersions or doubt on whether the elections will be credible, whether they'll be free or fair. I think that the IEC has got a track record of running free and fair elections. So these kinds of criticisms do worry me because they could be leveraged. But at the same time, the IEC needs to ensure that it is beyond reproach. But they've explained why they are appealing that decision by the electoral court. As an aside, I see that the court decision on MK's use of the insignia and the name controversies, where that judgment is expected on Monday next week.
702, the Midday Report, Monday to Friday,
12 to 1 p.m.
In the courts today, the alleged KPMG bursary fund fraudster, Fidelis Mwema, and his two co-accused have been granted 50,000 rand bail each. The Palm Ridge Magistrates Court granting those bail to Mwema and his two co-accused, who allegedly defrauded KPMG of 16.5 million rand, which was meant to go to students. Tabiso Gorba, EWN reporter, is in studio joining us to discuss that. Magistrate Sharon Soko warning Mwema in giving bail. What did the magistrate have to say?
Yes, good afternoon, Mandy. Well, the magistrate said that, you know, she believes that the state has a very strong case. And, you know, she says the bank statements that were given to courts indicates that, you know, there is maybe, you know, a prima facie case of these guys actually stealing this money or getting it, you know, unlawfully, because these companies were not students. Obviously, this money was supposed to go to students. However, the magistrate saying that, obviously, Mandy, that this is a bail application. She's not here to judge their innocence. She just has to obviously understand, do they pose a danger to the public? Do they pose a danger to the state's witnesses if they were let out? And the magistrate is saying that she believes that they don't pose a danger to the witnesses. You'll remember that the accused number one is Fidelis Mwema. Obviously, he's the alleged mastermind behind this whole thing. He has a girlfriend and he has a two-year-old child. His entire family is here in South Africa. The other two accused, one is a businessman, another is a traffic officer at the Tshwane municipality. They both married. They also have their families here. So the judge saying that she believes that they are not going to skip the country or flee trial. Now, obviously, Mandy, as we reported yesterday, that some of the ex-girlfriends of Fidelis Mwema...
Ex-girlfriends.
Yes. Apparently, you know, he used to launder money through his ex-girlfriends. He would make them start businesses and he'd send some of that money, and obviously he'd transfer that money back to his personal account and, you know, use and keep some of it to the girlfriends. So the state yesterday said, Mandy, that those girlfriends have come forward and they've now turned state witnesses against Mwema. So I did ask the NPA the NPA Gauteng spokesperson Pindim Jonondwana about obviously that these witnesses are known to Moema and what is the state doing to protect them in the eventuality that their lives might be in danger. And this is what she had to say.
Well, remember that the issue of witness protection also involves the witnesses themselves coming forward with information where they feel that their lives are being threatened, then the state is in a position to take the necessary steps. But for now, we have not received such information as the NPA.
So far, how many witnesses have you secured in estimation?
Well, it would be fruitless to try and explain and give a number of witnesses that we have identified because we are embarking on a fruitless exercise, seeing that investigations are still ongoing. There are also some people that we are looking into as people of interest. So the number might increase, and so we prefer that we wait for the right moment when we have already when we are at the stage of disclosing the contents of the docket.
That's the NPA speaking about the case and the strength of the case. The ex-girlfriend's turning state witness there against Fidelis Moema. Yesterday, we got a voice note into the show regarding the impact of this case on the reputation of KPMG at Tibby. So what is the organization, the company, saying about this?
So a couple of things to consider from KPMG. So the first one is that Fidelis Moema was dismissed. The KPMG did release a statement in saying that they dismissed Fidelis Moema for a separate disciplinary issue in November 2022. So after his dismissal, they did some investigation and actually found that he was actually siphoning a lot of the bursary fund money. So it was KPMG who went to the Hawks with the investigations and gave it to the Hawks. And the Hawks obviously then arrested Fidelis Moema based on the information that was given by KPMG. But also importantly, Mandy, we do know that the money that he did allegedly siphon was meant for students. KPMG said that despite his actions, all those students, all the beneficiaries were actually reached out to and received those bursaries that were meant to them.
I think important to point that out, Tabiso. Thank you very much, Tabiso Gorba, with the latest on that case out of the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court.
What's up, Mandy?
On 072-702-1702.
Mandy, this Malema guy is not just an opportunist. He's a flip-flopper, a liar of note. He's also a criminal. You cannot have a person like that leading a country. He must forget it. And together with the MK, my name is Mpegiseni from Jamestown. Thank you.
Mandy, hi. Now tell me, with the showers, are they also going to get soap and all the toiletries going with it? And then it means they will build their homes under the bridges. They are sorted. Is that it?
Good afternoon, Mandy. Yes, regarding the showers by the Premier, it's a good idea because you know what? Is going to end up helping us too. I'm not a homeless person per se. I'm a resident of Yeovil in Joburg. But then half of the times we don't have water, half of the times we don't have electricity. So if there are showers, free showers out there, bring it on. Thanks, Tembi.
Thanks very much for those WhatsApp voice notes. An interesting mixed bag of responses to this idea of the free showers being launched today, the mobile showers for the homeless being launched by Panyaza Lesufi and also the Social Development MEC. Some people pointing out that, you know, this is about dignity and will really make a difference to those people who are homeless. The counter argument and the point that I'm making here is that we should be getting people off the streets. We should be giving them homes and giving them real quality homes and not just trying to fix the symptoms, but really trying to remedy the problem that we have here, which is homelessness. And what the government is saying is that we do so much to reunify those in the streets with their families or place others within our shelters. Some refuse to leave the streets. And in this regard, we must have services readily available to them. So I take that point, I understand it. But this does feel a lot like those COVID scooters, ambulance scooters. It feels very gimmicky and not like it's fixing the fundamental problem. And I think it's easy to draw that conclusion in election season that this is merely a gimmick.
I mean, the nice show as always, but Mandy, why do they give you 1 hour for your show? Because every day your show is very interesting. Anyway, it is what it is, but you're enjoying your show, Mandy. Please, they must give you 2 hours at least. Love you, Mandy. Have a good Friday.
Mandy, not sure why are you saying that these are attacks on the IEC when someone is saying he doesn't understand why the IEC is going to appeal the Zuma judgment. He's saying things that are there that are facts. I don't know. Is it only you guys who are supposed to criticize and no one else is supposed to criticize, and anyone who doesn't agree with your views is essentially casting aspersions?
Thank you very much for those WhatsApp voice notes. Speak to management. Maybe they'll give us 2 hours. There's so much news in this country. You won't struggle to fill 2 hours, that's for sure. And thank you for listening and thank you for that beautiful voice note. Listen, as I also said, there was a caveat when it came to the IEC that they have to be beyond reproach. And we need the reasons for that electoral court judgment to understand why the IEC is appealing it. So the IEC makes mistakes. And I'm not saying that they're perfect. That was the point that I made. But I think we just need to be very careful about leveraging this criticism of the IEC when there are already concerns. Former President Jacob Zuma and other MK party members have made comments that I think are concerning, and we do need to defend democracy, because I think that what could happen if that doesn't happen, it could be extremely dangerous. 12:31, time for Eyewitness News headlines.
And now, it's back to Mandy Wiener on the Midday Report.
This is 7:02.
Let's walk the talk.
12:37 on the Midday Report with me, Mandy Wiener. We have been speaking about this campaign that is being launched today by the Gauteng Premier, Panyaza Lesufi, and the Gauteng MEC for Social Development, Mbali Khlope, which is the homeless mobile wash service. It's called Nasi Shower, which of course takes the name from the Nasi Swani program, the jobs recruitment drive that the Premier has been pushing. So essentially what that translates to is here is the shower. Lots of concern about this, that it is an election gimmick. I've raised my concerns around that. Some people saying it's necessary for those people who are not willing to not live on the streets. Let's try and understand this further with Gloria Motswere, EWN reporter. Gloria, good afternoon to you. Tell us about what's happening today at the Wembley Stadium in Turfontein, where this launch is taking place.
Good afternoon, Mandy. So what is happening today is that the social development department in Gauteng has actually set up there's mobile showers that have been set up. And what is happening right now is a number of people that actually showed up to this event. These are homeless people that came and actually got the opportunity to take a hot shower. So one truck has about 3 showers and each person is allowed a 5-minute shower. A lot of organizations actually came out to endorse this program because they are saying that as much as there's people that want to live on the streets, that are comfortable on the streets, if I can put it like that, they also need access to things like this. And they are saying that it's not just about the showers, but the ability to provide services like health services and mental health services for these people to be able to have access to social workers, for example. So wherever these mobile showers are going to be located, there's also going to be different departments from government that will be providing services there as well.
Gloria, we have some questions around practicality from our listeners. So, for example, are they also provided with soap and cloths? Are they given clean clothes afterwards? Any specifics like that that they told you about today?
At the moment, there's not a lot of specifics, but they actually do provide soap and towels that the people can use to shower. When it comes to their clothes, they are wearing their own clothes, but they get the chance to wash their clothes here. As I'm standing here, there's a lot of people that are actually hanging their clothes around in the area. So they get the opportunity to wash their clothes as well, so they can go home or wherever they go back to and they are actually clean.
And have you had a chance to speak to some of the people that have been using those facilities and what this could mean to them?
Not yet, Mandy. There hasn't been too many people that have used the showers for now, because the program is underway. But I believe that after the program takes place, they're going to go back to having people take showers, and then maybe we'll get an opportunity to speak to them then.
And then just lastly, Gloria, do we know how extensive this program is going to be? The mobile wash bus services, we understand they're going to be in parks and open areas and under bridges. Have we been told how many of these facilities there are going to be, or any other logistical issues?
For now, there hasn't been any specifics in terms of where exactly to find the trucks or anything like that. But that's something that I'm definitely going to ask the MEC, because she's here as well.
Excellent, Gloria. I'm sure that we'll get those updates from you a bit later on. Gloria Motswere, EWN reporter. So I'm trying very hard here, as you can hear, to have an open mind about this and see the benefits of it. I do understand that that it can be beneficial in terms of the dignity of people that do not necessarily have access to these kinds of facilities. And also the fact that they're coupling this with other services. I think that is definitely important. It's the basket of services that the province is providing to ensure hygiene and health for the homeless. My argument is that perhaps they should fix the problem of homelessness and provide actual homes and real homes. And I think that would make a difference. But perhaps I'm too cynical. But you let me know what you think. Send me a WhatsApp voice note, 072 702 1702, 072 567 1567.
702.
The Midday Report with Mandy Wiener.
Let's walk the talk.
President Cyril Ramaphosa has extended the deployment of over 1,000 SANDF troops in the DRC, so that deployment has now been extended to December. He sent a letter to Parliament saying that this was necessary to fulfil an obligation to the UN to neutralise negative forces in the DRC. So the aim is to neutralise illegally armed groups by bringing peace and stability there. It's going to cost us, though. According to reports, it'll cost us over 8 million rand. This mission to the DRC, of course, has not been without issues. You'll remember that in February, two soldiers died in a mortar attack. Last month, another two died in a murder-suicide. An Oryx military helicopter was shot down during a mission in the Eastern Congo in February. So what does this mean? Dean Wingren is a defence analyst. Dean, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time. Are you in any way surprised by the extension of this deployment, or was it on the cards?
Good morning, Mandy, and to the listeners. Just a slight correction. The extension that we're chatting about of the Defence Forces mission in the DRC under the UN mandate is actually 805 million rand until the 20th of December this year. And no, I'm not surprised that it's been extended. It has been on the cards for quite a while. The UN has, since last year, has agreed with the government of the DRC that they would be withdrawing the mission at the end of, or by the 20th of December this year. And in fact, many countries have already commenced that withdrawal from the Eastern DRC. South Africa, I think, is slated to withdraw most of the troops by about July this year. So extending the mission to the 20th of December just covers the period for the Defence Force to withdraw from the DRC.
Okay, that makes sense, and that's an important clarification as well. There have been lots of red flags raised around this mission, that it's not the right thing, that it may be costly in terms of the loss of life. How would you assess how it's been so far and whether those concerns are correct or not?
Well, just to give a little bit of background, South Africa has been involved in the UN mission in the DRC since 1999. So that's about 25 years we've been there. And since 2013, we've been part of the Force Intervention Brigade together with Malawi and Tanzania. And this is actually quite a unique UN mandate in that it's actually an offensive mandate, one of the very, very few that the UN has actually authorized. And under the total UN forces in the DRC, that's about 15,000 at its peak, this is tailoring down now. But South Africa is not finished in the DRC, as they have just agreed with the SADC to form a new mission in the DRC. And this is what's now ramping up. As the UN mission scales down, South Africa, together with SADC, is now ramping up their mission. And they're actually sending, whereas we've got, I think, roughly 1,200 troops just under that in the DRC, under the UN, we're now going to have about 2,900 troops under the SADC mission, which is together with Malawi and Tanzania to assist the Congolese army. And that is at a cost of $2.4 billion just for the next year or so. And this is the big issue that most defense analysts have, is that the SADC mission is far smaller. There's about 5,000 troops in total that have been planned amongst the three countries. And how are these three troops, these 5,000 troops, going to make any impact in the area if 15,000 UN troops couldn't? So I think it's very much down that it's really a political decision and a political resolution that must be made in order to stop the fighting that's happening there in the Eastern DRC.
Dean, thank you very much for explaining that. Dean Wingren, defense analyst, giving us his analysis there on this decision to extend the deployment of SANDF troops to the DRC.
Sports Wrap. With Tholakele Mganga.
Tholakele Mganga in studio. Yo, there's a lot of sport happening this weekend.
Absolutely.
Let's start with football. Let's start with local football first.
Yes, we've got the DStv Premiership. Of course, we know that Mamelodi Sundowns won't be in action this weekend because they are involved in CAF Champions League action. They take an ES Tunis tomorrow evening. We know that having finally gotten over that quarterfinal hurdle, Rolani Mokoena will be very determined to ensure that his team get to the final and, more importantly, win the tournament as a whole. They haven't won it since their maiden success in 2016 under Pito Mosimane. Then in the DStv Premiership, some of the games to look forward to include Orlando Pirates up against AmaZulu, and then Kaizer Chiefs take on Richards Bay. In their defense, Richards Bay are struggling this season, so it's probably a game where Kaizer Chiefs fans will look at and say, this is something that we can win. Then in England, along with the title race, we've got an FA Cup. I was laughing.
Chelsea
take on Manchester City, yeah. And then Manchester United take on Coventry. I was laughing at midweek because there was someone who tweeted that when it comes to this part of the season, your team winning doesn't bring you success. It's your rivals failing at whatever they're trying to win.
I mean, that's sport, right?
That brings you the greatest joy at this point. And I think for like a lot of Manchester United fans, possibly some other smaller teams like Chelsea, they'll look at the fact that Arsenal and Liverpool are out of the European competitions, Manchester City out of the European competitions, and the fact that last weekend Liverpool and Arsenal lost in the Premier League title race. They'll be looking at that and actually enjoying it. But for Manchester United fans, we are playing Coventry, so now is not the time to be laughing at other teams.
URC?
Yes. Well, you know, it's so hard with rugby because every week we're in a different competition.
I'm so confused. I got it wrong on air last week and I don't know if anyone noticed. I was like, I think I called the Champions Trophy a soccer tournament.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, I don't know what's going on here. There's so many different rugby tournaments and I'm confused.
So last week it was the Champions Cup. So that one is where the Bulls were involved in the quarterfinals. That one is towards the business end. With the URC, we still...
But wait, let's just explain to people what that is quickly, because that's... the top winners from different leagues, right?
Remember when we decided to let go of Super Rugby, then we decided that we're going to align ourselves with the European calendar. The likes of the Cheetahs were kind of pushed aside, and then the Lions, the Sharks, the Stormers and the Bulls, they were involved in those top European competitions. Just the Sharks have advanced to the semi-finals of that European competition. But now in the URC, which is us against other European teams, but in a whole nother competition, we're still in the round-robin phase of that one. The games that we can look forward to start tonight with the Sharks in action against the Glasgow Warriors. We've got the Lions up against Leinster. Leinster are the table toppers of this competition. The Bulls take on Munster, who are the defending champions. Then we know the Stormers, who are the inaugural champions. They take on Ospreys on Saturday.
What Tolokile said. Lando is on pole for the sprint. I'm so excited. I mean, can you tell that I'm a Lando Norris McLaren fan?
I think if we're going to get more people excited about Formula One after the 3 years of Max Verstappen dominance, these are the things that we need to see. Even the Lewis Hamilton fans, he made interesting comments yesterday where he says he sees himself being like Fernando Alonso, racing deep within his 40s. So we need all these other people to just give us a challenge so the rest of us can get excited about the sport.
Thank you very much, Tolokile. Wrapping up what to expect this weekend. Lots of sport for you to watch.
Good things. Good things. With Brent Lindeke.
And of course, Brent Lindeke, the good things guy, joining us on a Friday, bringing us some good news. Hey, Brenty, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Mans, and happy Friday to all of the 702 and Cape Talk listeners. Always great to be featured on the show on a Friday to bring some good news to what could always be a challenging week in South Africa.
So we were just chatting about sport with Tolokile, and how cool is it that Siya Kolisi has been named one of Time's most influential people in like the entire globe?
Man, this is the most incredible story, not just for Siya, but for South Africa. I'm sure a lot of the listeners have been watching Chasing the Sun 2, which is an incredible show. Hashtag not sponsored. It's just because it does bring all the feels.
Listen, I watched the latest
Sunday episode
on a flight, and when Bongi Mbonambi was crying in the change room, I was bawling on the flight, and people were staring at me.
But it's exactly that reason. It does bring us all the feels. What the Boka did and what the Boka do, and how they remind us that stronger together are not just words. They are something that we truly are as South Africans. It is something to celebrate. And Siya Kolisi being named Time's most influential person of 2024. It just goes to show that what he's doing on the field reverberates around the world. I must say, Trevor Noah wrote the piece to speak about Siya, and he said he's been the embodiment of hope during a time in which many South Africans find it hard to hold on to any. Through political strife and energy crisis and the effects of COVID-19, Siya has made rugby into something more than just a competition. His multiple victories, the country's victories, have meant so much. I just think it's so true that he really gave it his all. And if you've watched the show, Mandy, I'm preaching to the converted. But if our listeners have watched the show, then they'll remember how Sia's not doing it for himself. He really is doing it for South Africa. So congratulations to Siya for that incredible award. All of South Africa are so incredibly proud of him.
Yeah, well done. Well done. So well deserved, Siya Kolisi. And if you haven't watched Chasing the Sun 2, you have to do that this weekend. Listen, people are very quick to criticize the police and to speak about how they're not fit and that they're not healthy. There's this picture of this super hot cop that's gone viral.
I don't know what's in the water in East London, but Devin Cox has gone viral for being South Africa's hottest. The perfect name. He's gone viral for being South Africa's hottest cop. He's got his own social media. You can find it, DEVANCOX. He's on Instagram, Facebook,
TikTok. Is he a real cop?
He's a real cop. He's a real cop. And we posted, obviously, the story started going viral yesterday. A lot of publications are sort of interviewing Devin and speaking about how it feels to be the South Africa's hottest cop. He's fit, he's good looking, and he knows it. He puts it all over his social media. But what's quite interesting is we posted that article this morning, and some of the responses, they've made me a little bit hot under the collar. I can't speak about them on air, but South Africans are not shy when they say sort of what they'll do to be arrested just so they can meet Devin.
Brent, I saw you posting earlier this morning about the fact that Taylor Swift's new album dropped earlier today. You've been listening to it. I think that's going to make a lot of people happy, hey?
Absolutely. So all the Swifties have been waiting for this album to drop. Obviously, Taylor Swift has become one of the top pop stars in the world. She's raking in billions. She's doing great things. And not only did she drop her album at 6 a.m. South Africa time this morning, but an hour later, she dropped a second album with 15 extra songs. So that's 31 songs that we get to listen to on this Friday.
Tortured Poets Department. We're gonna get into that in a second, Brenty. But thank you so much for bringing us all the good news. And we'll let you end off with Taylor Swift and what you always say to us every week.
I'm wishing you only good things.
Only good things with Brent Lindeke. Time for some Taylor Swift. To the rift, pulled him in tighter each time he was drifting away. My spine split from carrying us up the hill, wet through my clothes, weary bones caught the chill. I stopped trying to make him laugh, stopped trying to drill the safe, thinking how much sad did you think I'm that stitcher. That's for all the Swifties out there, the much-anticipated Tortured Poets Department dropping this morning. Not just one album, but a secret double album dropping. So you can go and listen to that this weekend if you are a Taylor Swift fan. Thank you for listening.